I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center. Welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about his words evoke beauty. His words, talking about Jesus, his words evoke beauty. We're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture today, coming from Ephesians chapter 5 in the Message version, talking about how husbands should be loving their wives in the same way that Jesus does. And it gives us this example. Jesus, his words evoke beauty. Everything he says, everything that he does is designed to bring out the best in us. Everything he does is designed to evoke our beauty and to bring out the best in us. And we're supposed to learn how to experience that from him and let that flow through us to other people. Most importantly, husbands and wives, but also flowing out into the other people around us. Now, we're starting a new year. And this year, I feel like the word that came through for this year was that this year was going to be the year of the beautiful land. Understanding that God is the source of beauty. But beauty just doesn't happen by accident. Beauty happens by design. God wants to help us build a beautiful life. He wants to help us build the best life possible. He wants to help us to build that. But it comes by design, and he's the one that's got the plan. He's the one that's got the plan to evoke this beauty in our lives. And learning to simply receive this from him, let this flow through us, and let our words, let our actions have that same effect on other people as well. So we're going to get started with our prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions is we start with about a two-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we take a few minutes to examine ourselves before our time of communion for today. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us and make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes. Expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We've been putting a new part in our prayer here lately. Father, send us opportunities to do good today, to be a blessing. Send us people that we can help today and help us to be sensitive to those opportunities and keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And this is where we talk about our four fundamentals, a time to examine ourselves. These are four fundamentals to be keep implementing into our day. And remember, masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. But you got to bring some presence and some energy and some focus, some delight into these fundamentals each day. Fundamental number one, getting positioned to light. Then we're going to magnify that light, make it bigger and greater and stronger. Then we're going to stay tuned in for God's leading and direction today. And then take action. Do those things that you know to do. And do them together in partnership with God today, trusting He's right there with you. So our first one, getting positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. Every day as time moves forward, you got to keep repositioning yourself back into the light. This has to happen every single day. And we're either in the light or we're in the darkness. To be in the light means to be humble, means to walk in forgiveness. It means not insisting on doing things my own way, being humble, being willing to grow, being willing to change, to take a more gentle approach in things, and to receive that forgiveness from God, to repent, receive that forgiveness from Him. Let that flow through you, where you give yourself that same forgiveness and grace that He's given you. And then you walk in that same forgiveness and grace with other people. Then to be positioned in the light is to be positioned in love. Light and love are one and the same thing. To be in love is to be externally focused. Focus on how can I do good today? How can I be a blessing? Rather than being full of bitterness or resentment, looking out for ourselves, all these types of things. And the greatest thing we can do, I believe, to stay positioned in the light all day, to stay positioned in gratitude, just to stay positioned in gratitude and praise all throughout the day, is one of the simplest things I think you can do to stay positioned in this all day. And this can be a challenge sometimes because life is trying to knock you out of this. Things are coming at you every day. They try to pull you out of this positioning. But if you'll just stay positioned in gratitude and praise every day, it's one of the greatest expressions of faith. And when you get into faith, now you have access to everything God has. In Christ, God's given us everything He has, His Spirit and power and presence, His love and peace and joy, His mind and wisdom, His health and energy, His time and finances. All of those are available right now, today, to flow through you. I like to call it a pipeline of living water. We have to learn to receive this and to get it flowing through us at greater levels where we see it flowing out into the world. So first, we got to realize it's there. We got to understand it's there. We got to get positioned in it. We got to turn on the flow of it. And then we got to magnify it. We got to expand the capacity of the pipeline where more and more of it can flow through us. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And it's all about what we're focused on. What is our attention on throughout the day? Because we're all focused on something every day. We might as well just turn it around and start magnifying the light. How do we do that? What you're thinking about, what you're talking about, what you're meditating on, what you're rolling over in your mind all throughout the day is how we magnify. Now, to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Give His word a higher place and priority in our lives. To be studying it diligently, to be rolling it over in our minds, to be speaking His word consistently. We can magnify His unfailing love and His faithfulness, His mighty works, that nothing's impossible for Him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. You've got blessing and favor with God. You've got peace with God. He wants to help today. He eagerly desires to help us today. We can magnify every good thing that He put within us. Got this treasure in earthen vessels. We can magnify whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and keep focused on all the things that are going well. We keep focused on how far God has already brought us. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to bring them into the light and to magnify God as bigger than the problems. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. He's going to cause you to triumph every single time. You stay positioned in the light. You keep magnifying this light. You keep focused on Him. He's going to cause you to triumph every single time. But He does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, refusing to change, refusing to repent, walking in bitterness and unforgiveness, focused on all the issues, focused on all the problems, snapping at people, withdrawing our presence, giving people the silent treatment, avoiding people, dwelling on the past, worrying about the future, trying to solve all the problems and do everything in our own strength rather than relying and trusting in God. We could choose to do it that way. He gives us the free will to do so. That's where we got to recognize those symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness, Number one, you might have those times where you snap at people. You're tempted to not talk to them, to withdraw your presence, to ignore them, to avoid them. Then there's the heaviness and just the oppression where there's the weight and pressure on you. Might feel hopeless, like you're stuck in something and there seems to be no way out. Your energy levels begin to diminish. I like to think of it like a black hole. It's just sucking the energy out of you. And you say, why am I so tired all the time? For some people, they say, I eat right. I exercise. I get my rest, but I'm still tired all the time. Why? This is why. Which we're magnifying where we're focused on. Where's our positioning? Then there's the fear and stress and worry, dread of the future, confusion over what to do, which direction to go. You get stuck in those vicious cycles and bad patterns that are very hard to break. But when you're in the light, number one, there's rest in your soul. You're resting in your soul. And when you rest, now all of a sudden, God can go to work. When you rest, he can go to work. And now all of a sudden, it's his peace, his joy, his love, his power, his presence, his spirit, his mind. All that begins to flow through you. And now everything feels free and easy and effortless and energizing. You got that peace that surpasses all understanding. You got the joy of the Lord that is your strength. All of a sudden, his mind begins to flow. And you get these aha moments. These flashes of insights where you know that you know this is the right thing to do. This is the right step to take. This is the solution I was searching for. You stay positioned in this consistently. He starts to set you free. He breaks you free of those bad habits, bad patterns, things you've been stuck in, seem like there was no way out. And God gives us this amazing gift of grace. Because like I said, our challenge is often to sustain this positioning. And he gives us this amazing gift of grace that it only takes 1 second to turn it around, to change our focus, to go from darkness to light. How do you do it? You repent, you humble yourself, you receive that forgiveness from him. Father, forgive me for snapping at that person, for reacting the way that I did, for missing it, for magnifying the problems, whatever it was. And you receive that forgiveness from him, you forgive yourself. If you need to reconcile with anybody else, you reconcile with them. And you just start praising and thanking God for his grace and for his goodness. And what he put in you was more than enough. And all of a sudden, you'll experience it flow again. You feel that peace come back in, that joy come back in. Everything, that weight just feels like it breaks off of you. Everything feels so much lighter. It can happen in 2 seconds, 1 second. And we got to stay tuned in each day, listening for God's leading and direction. The way I like to do this is every night before bed, kind of recapping the day. What did I learn today? I like to start in my journal, get positioned in the light with gratitude first, then start to magnify what went well today. What were my wins for the day? What was the ways that I saw God coming through today? And then what did I learn today? God, what were you trying to show me today? What were you trying to teach me? What directions were you trying to lead me today? Is there anything I missed? If so, would you please repeat it? And then you just get still and you listen for just a few minutes. It doesn't take long. And whatever begins to come into your mind, you just ask them these questions. Whatever comes into your mind, just begin to write it down. Whether you think it was God or not, just write it down and begin to record your journey day by day with God. If you're ever unsure on something, just ask him. And then wait until you know, because sometimes we can get out ahead of God when we start doing things we're unsure over, things we're uncertain on. Just do what you know to do. Stay within what you know to do and just keep executing those things. The last thing I like to do in my journal before bed, make my plan for the next day with God. God, what do I know to do today? What do you want me to do today? What's on your plan for today? And you begin to write out what's on your to-do list, anything in your conscience that you've been just not taking action on, anything you've been procrastinating on, anything you have a leading or excitement to do. And then you just take action on those things. You take action on those things and you do them together in partnership with God. He's right there with you side by side, working in you, working through you. He just needs you to show up and show up with a good attitude, with a willing heart. Excited for the day and full confidence that he's right there with you. He's going to help. He's going to help. And as you do this, it does something like magnetize you. We're going to be talking about beauty here today. And when His grace flows, it's the source of beauty. God is the source of beauty. And when that grace begins to flow, you receive this pipeline of living water, and it begins to flow through you. It effortlessly beautifies you. And beauty inspires senses of awe and mystery and curiosity. Beauty inspires creativity, tranquility, but beauty is also attractive. Beauty is attractive, and it begins to pull more and more of everything God has into your life. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these things will be added to your life. It begins to magnetize you and begins to pull more and more into your life. So the passage of scripture we're about to read, I'm not going to show it to you just yet. Coming from Ephesians chapter 5. I came across this verse, to be honest, a few years ago. And I didn't quite know what to do with this. This is in the Message version. It's not in most of other versions of the Bible. And I didn't think too much of it a few years ago. I saw it. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then just in the last day, we talked about our message for this year. The year of the beautiful land. This idea of beauty. God's the source of beauty. And we're going to take a look here at how this happens. This has direct implications for each of us. This has implications for husbands and wives. But this also has just implications for the way that we interact with people. So let's take a look here. It's coming from Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21. This is the Message version. It's talking about relationships. The subtitle of this section here is called Relationships. It says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. So we're supposed to have this awe and reverence for God. And then that reverence is supposed to flow through us. We're supposed to have that same honor and respect and reverence for one another. And then it says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The same way that you honor Christ, the same way wives should be honoring their husbands. Now, the husband provides leadership to his wife, the way that Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. How does Christ provide leadership? By cherishing. I like to say, we talk about in our program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, what's the definition of cherishing? It's stepping into people's world, seeing them as the apple of your eye, and doing two things: keeping them from pain and giving them the desires of their heart. Keeping them from pain and giving them the desires of their heart. So that's what he's doing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, what kind of leadership? Cherishing. Cherishing people makes them want to submit, because they see you're really out, you have good intentions for them. Likewise, wives should submit to their husbands. Now, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Now, Christ's love makes the church whole. Notice it's his love that makes the church whole. And this is the verse right here. His words evoke beauty. His words evoke her beauty. Christ's words evoke the beauty of the body of Christ. A husband's words are supposed to evoke her beauty. What does that word evoke mean? I looked it up, just the dictionary definitions. To evoke is to bring forth. It's to produce. There's links to bringing a picture to mind or bringing a memory back to mind. It's like almost she has a recall of, this is the beauty that God designed me to have. She begins to get that image on the inside. Been thinking about lately. I was doing some study in the Song of Solomon. It talks a lot about this relationship of Solomon and his bride, which is a picture of Jesus and the bride of Christ. And it's the biblical model for marriage as well. And he talks about his wife is a garden. She's like a garden. And I want you to think about, we're creating this beautiful land this year. Creating this beautiful garden, like the Garden of Eden. And every word you do, everything you do is meant to beautify. Now, this can be found in the relationship of husbands and wives, but I believe this is the way it's supposed to be with one another. seeing everybody. It's like they got this garden of their heart. And we're going to cultivate that garden. We're going to help to evoke the beauty out of that garden, to bring it forth, to produce that beauty out of the garden. Now, everything he does, talking about Christ, everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. And notice, it's designed. Beauty doesn't happen by accident. Beauty comes from the Creator. It comes from his design. Design has to do with patterns and planning. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. When you get this right, there's this radiant effect that begins to happen. You can see a lot of times God's beauty and this in his glory and the idea of radiance are often connected. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. And they're really doing themselves. I find this very interesting. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. So in essence, loving his bride is actually loving himself because they're already one. And no one abuses his own body. This is where we're getting into. We're going to start implementing these daily workouts. Hopefully today, as you're watching this day today, hopefully I'm going to be getting you some information on these new workouts that go along with these communion messages. And the world has taught us that these workouts, we're supposed to treat the body harshly. If you look at the other versions of this verse, like NIV, ESV, some of the other versions of this, talks about how the world has this interpretation of how we're supposed to treat our bodies. We're supposed to treat our body harshly to produce results. But it says here, no one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds it and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we're part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. Now, this is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all, says Paul, but I don't fully understand it either. What is the clearest to me is that the way Christ treats the church, his words evoke beauty. Everything he does is designed to bring out the best. It's a picture. This provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. I think this message version gives us such a powerful impact here. So in our communion workouts, we're going to be talking about make your workout beautiful. Exercise in a way that builds your body. Exercise in a way that generates this beauty in your body. Exercise and make it beautiful, leaving a little margin in the tank. Focus on doing it excellently. Every movement designed to beautify your body and bring out the best in your body. The world has taught us that you got to be lying in the corner, throwing up to be a good workout, but that is simply not true. There is a way to work out. I don't believe that's the way God designed our body to function. And that's coming after years of studying with some of the best people in the world when it comes to this stuff. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for you. For your words that evoke beauty and that are designed to bring out the best in us, Lord. That everything you do is intended to bring out the best in us, that you feed us, that you care for us tenderly, that you cherish us. We thank you for this beautiful picture, this amazing example that you've given us, and we're asking for your help to walk this out in our lives, to have our words evoke beauty in other people, to receive this from you and let it flow through us so that our words begin to evoke honor and beauty and reverence in other people. And that everything we do, everything we say is designed to bring out the best in the people around us. So Father, we thank you for this bread. Then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said, "Take it. Receive it. He makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight because of his one sacrifice." And his words are designed to bring out that beauty, to bring out the best in you. That's his intentions. So Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So that after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. And I believe as you experience this, his word beautifying you, evoking that beauty, pulling it out of you. Everything he does designed to bring the best out of you. And you experience that in your own life, and you let that flow through you. You partner with him to do the same for other people. I believe it just helps you to know him better, to know his heart, his intentions, his love and goodness, his grace, that much more. So, Father, we just thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's about walking it out today. Let's stay positioned in that light today. That's where that beauty is. And keep magnifying it, where more and more of it flows through you. Pay attention to those symptoms. If you ever get off track, you turn it right back around. You get back right back in the light again. You stay tuned in today for his leading and direction. Take action doing those things that you know to do and doing them together in partnership with God. And he's going to lead you where? He's going to lead you to this beautiful place. He's going to help you build a beautiful life. He draws that beauty out of you, draws the best out of you. Now, hopefully soon, hopefully today, we're going to be having these communion workouts. The goal of the workout, designed to bring out the best in you, to bring out that beauty in you. Let's execute those workouts beautifully today. As you execute your workouts, one of the shortcuts, our goal in the workout is to connect with God on a greater level, to practically apply, practicing, getting that river of living water flowing through you. That's the goal of our workouts. All the other stuff, the health benefits, the increases in fitness, getting leaner, getting stronger, all those are just side effects. The goal is to focus on him and connect with him, get that grace flowing through you. If you just focus on making your workout beautiful, doing it excellently, doing what you can do and doing it excellently, it teaches you how to get that grace flowing out of you because you stay focused on him because he's the source of the beauty. So I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.